Ladies and gentlemen, the long-awaited, highly anticipated conversation with a guy I call Nate, short for Nathan, but he'll give you his real name.
Nathan Joseph Wilmus.
See what I mean? I mean, what a guy. Okay, what this guy is, can I tell him where you are an athletic trainer at?
Sure,
all right then. Because this guy, I have given for what I don't have a whole lot of steam, but this guy could be a cadet. I mean, he's that good. So what it comes down to is that he's the athletic director, and I'm going to have him tell you that, because let me tell you something about something. Learning how you code of conduct and so forth at a game. You know, that you root for what's on the front of the jersey, you know, and you're off the field. Stay off the field. Don't worry about what's going on in the field. And be nice to the athletic trainers, for God's sakes. And along with that, you say, hey, man, I love the way you work. You know, hey, you really did great, Joey. You really did great, Annie. And like an athletic director saying, man, I don't know what you did, but it's kind of like, you're magnificent. And then you really, so you'll be able to be the guy, because I think I've been on the guy a couple of days. I think he's been rehearsing. My friend, Nate.
How's everybody doing today?
Boom, boom, boom. Anything you want.
Oh.
Just throw your stuff out there.
Well, my name's Nate. I'm the athletic trainer at CBC High School. I'm with Mercy Sports Medicine. I've been at CBC 2 years now, finishing up here with baseball and lacrosse this spring. Work with the 5 soccer teams in the fall, and the 4 basketball teams through the winter, and here we are in the spring. So, like I said, I've been at CBC 2 years. Prior to that, I was with Ladue at their West Campus for 4 years.
Nice.
And prior to that, I was the sports medicine director for Excel Sports and Physical Therapy in St. Charles County, where we took care of all the schools in the Gateway Athletic Conference. So,
wow.
I've been doing this now about a little over 25 years. So I've seen quite a lot. Worked with Olympic training centers a little bit. Professional soccer, professional women's volleyball, a couple different colleges here in town, but I'm at the high school level right now.
Nate, I mean, really, the guy looks like just a couple years out of college.
I wish.
Hey, tell me about that big sports medicine building that's right, Bayless and Highway.
Yeah, of.
Yeah, Bayless. Yeah, I say Bayless, sorry. But, yeah, you know something about it?
Yeah. Our whole program is based on the 5th floor of that building. The building is really just going to be 1 year old here on May 1st, I believe. But, we've got everything there. We've got the injury screening, injury prevention work in there, as well as x-ray, orthopedics, surgery. We got physical therapy, rehab. As well as like pre and post training, you know, with fitness for the sports team. So we got everything and anything in there. But like I said, we take the whole 5th floor and everything from, you know, nurses, orthopedists, primary care docs, athletic trainers, physical therapists, and everything in between occupy that whole upstairs, that 5th level. So.
Let me tell you something, under full disclosure, if I went to confession as much as I talk to Nate during the season, asking him about this guy, that boy, I'd be going like almost to the seminarian.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, basically, my role with the team is kind of be there to try to prevent injuries from happening. But if injuries do happen, we give a quick assessment and decide, you know, how serious it is, and always report to the parents and the coaches on the nature of the situation. You know, if they need to go get an X-ray or see the physician, if they wait a few days, or if it's just something we can just take care of there in the field and get them back in the game.
Yeah, before you were born, guys used to take me home from the games or practice, and they would, it was like 18 steps that went up. I lived on the hill, top of the hill, on a corner house. And the deal was is that they would knock on the door, ring the doorbell. Mrs. Whalen, they said not to wake him up so he doesn't sleep after a couple hours, you know. Wake him up. Yeah.
After a concussion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely things have changed with concussions now. I mean, when I first started, a kid came over and he had his bell rung, like with a football game or something. You had him do some push-ups and sit-ups, had him jog, and if they said, I feel okay, then you put him back in the game. But now, you know, to be honest, if they have any kind of symptoms at all, we have to err on the side of caution, hold them out, reassess them in about 24 hours, and then if they're still having symptoms, then basically do like what they call a SCAT 6 now, and then kind of work them, you know, let them rest, get them recovered, then kind of work them back in gradually and eventually.
Now, I never had the IRS knock on the door or anything, but I'm guaranteeing you, you athletic directors control and nobody even whispers. So when there's lightning in the air.
Yeah, if there's lightning in the area, you know, once it gets about 20 miles, 20-mile radius from the area you're participating in, we kind of let the coaches and officials know that, hey, bad weather is kind of on the way. Once we get to about 10 miles away, we got to clear the field, get athletes, ideally inside a building where it's grounded, there's electrical outlets in it, it has a roof and protection on it, even better than like an outdoor pavilion. And then by 6 mile perimeter, everybody has to be, at least the athletes have to be inside a building and clear where it's safe.
Yeah, and also with the hot weather.
Yeah, with heat, we have like what we call like a wet bulb thermometer, for like a better term, and it kind of measures everything. It measures the heat, the humidity, the sun, the wind, everything you can imagine that relates to weather. And once it gets to a certain point, there's graded levels on that too, as far as no participation, light participation, or continue on regular. But we kind of monitor that heat because it's obviously it's very stressful and can wear down athletes and cause further injuries, as well as heat exhaustion and heat stroke, which, you know, we try to prevent, try to avoid, obviously.
I was the last high school season in 1975, and so what about winter? Do they play outdoor for some winter sports?
There's not really much outside with the winter. Most everything is, indoor. You know, swimming sports, basketball, and wrestling is pretty much the main stuff inside. But there are conditions where you have to kind of be aware, kind of near the end of the outdoor, like soccer, for example, the outdoor season, where it gets cold, can be warm during practice or game, then gets cold. An athlete is fatigued and sweaty. He can, he or she can have issues then, as well as in the spring. It doesn't get warm until almost May. So sometimes the athlete is fatigued, sweaty, is waiting outside, the sun's going down. They can actually have issues then with the cold response. We have to kind of just monitor these athletes all the time throughout our facilities.
Okay, so Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, bro, but I've never seen you pull out a spray bottle and spray it on somebody and they got up and walk. Is that correct?
There's definitely some places you might see that MLS sometimes. I might get a cold spray out and spray it on there, but that's really, going to be more just superficial and not really going to penetrate deep into those tissues and take care of that athlete. But there's definitely some more proven research on different modalities out there, different methods to help those athletes, recover and get better faster.
All right. And the other thing, okay. Help out the whale. I haven't experienced any for a long time, but shin splints.
Yeah, basically, shin splints can be a lot of factors add to it. Not a lot of preseason conditioning, improper technique, bad footwear, either not very good surfaces, hard surfaces, changing surfaces, inflexibility, weakness. So an athlete comes to us and says they have shin splints. It's really just a catch-all term for shin pain in the lower leg. And that's really really what we do, stretching, strengthening, rest, active recovery, try to keep them involved in the sport, but limit the amount of impact they might have. So, put them on a stationary bike, an elliptical, get them in a pool workout if available, and then stretch and strengthen them and try to do our best we can. Because once you get shin pain, shin splints, it's usually really hard to get rid of during the season because almost every sport requires some type of running.
Now, say for me, I got a little streak of paranoia coming down. Okay? It's that, you know, people, they look at me and then they turn around and just get going. You find that to be like they try to stay away from you as much as possible?
Yeah, especially, like I said, at CBC, they try to avoid me like the plague sometimes because they want to be in the game. It's competitive culture. They want to play. But after they kind of get to know me and trust me that I'm not going to just automatically hold them out for a length of time, they know I'm there to kind of support them, facilitate them, and take care of their best interests from a sports position.
That's what I feel about you. Way to go, man. That's a good thing. And that gets you whale certified right there, man. That got you whale certified.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, it goes. I mean, I tell you, I look around, you know, and you're the best.
Well, I appreciate that. But there's a lot of good athletic trainers in the St. Louis area. And, yeah, they're kind of behind the scenes. Like I said, athletes may not always try to avoid us or parents avoid us. Sometimes they just don't know we're there. But, you know, sometimes we're kind of like a superhero. Something happens, an injury, and people are looking around. We kind of jump out and swoop out of, you know, the shadows sometimes and help that athlete and make sure we're providing good medical care. But, you know, the athletic trainers in the area, St. Louis area, are very good and continue to grow in the profession.
And I'm not kidding you. I mean, you know, this first couple notes of Danny Boy, I'm crying, all right? So I'm a very sensitive guy. But the story is you, I've seen it firsthand. You take care of the player, of the athlete. You send him to the hospital. Tell him, you know, get it checked out, this and that. And before you're home, certainly the first thing the next morning, you're talking to the parents.
Yeah, I mean, with the technology we have today, we have cell phones on the field. At CBC, I've got access to all the parents' contact information. So, I can still have, if I put ice on an athlete for any reason, I can be calling the parent that's sitting in the stands and telling them, hey, this is what's going on with little Bobby. We got a ankle sprain, a knee injury, whatever, and kind of let them know how severe or minor it is at that point in time. Rather than waiting until getting it home or the next day or whatnot, we can let them know right away the care to do.
Yeah. And just so full disclosure, you and one of your representatives, colleagues, talks to all the coaches before we even begin to think about training. You all put with the athletic director right next to you, giving you full, this is how it's going to be. You give us the parameters. You give us when in doubt, send them out. I always like that one. But this is not, the flexible. This is how the procedure. These are the best practices that we've come to know. And everyone's got to follow it. And, say, for instance, I've been a big fan of yours. All right. And, you know, if I had a kid here, I would say, man, he's protected here. Because I want you to know that I know that you know. I take a test, and I got to be able to give out first aid and do some, you know, stuff, you know. But if it comes to it, I'd rather have him go with you than, you know, count on the whale. But I got to be there if something happens and you're not there for whatever reasons. And, It's I've never really looked at it like that before until I start coaching, and it's a very vital thing. Have you had, the old West gunslinger stories back that you can, tell us from Whale Certified what you've been, what it used to be like compared to what it is now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stories with that. I mean, like I talked earlier in the information here about the concussions, about how we used to kind of didn't think it was a big deal. Now we definitely make sure and take care of the athlete. With the spring sports season right now, lightning is one of those considerations that we always have to kind of take in mind. I was at a school in St. Charles County years ago and realized, you know, I said, hey, there's lightning in the area. And that school that where I was working at night, they jumped to it. They got everybody out of the stands right away. And I found out later that an athlete, or I don't know if it was an athlete or a family member, but somebody actually got hit by lightning in the parking lot and died.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was one. I was like, wow, I really got a lot of power around here. Because I said jump, and they said how high pretty much. And without much instruction or training at that point to the school district. But that was kind of an eye-opener that they moved and were protective of not only the people there in the district, but also the athletes. So that was really, really good. But everywhere now, there's not as much Wild West stuff. I mean, everybody's pretty understanding that we're here to help the athlete, not take them out of their sport.
Yeah. And the thing about, you know, I never heard it until I came, ACL.
Yeah, the ACL, you hear a lot about that. Pretty common injury to young athletes. Can be from a lot of different things, you know, the way their bodies are made, you know, lack of coordination, growth and development changes. And obviously, there's some things you can't control when an athlete slides or runs to another one, and the ACL is kind of a rotary stabilizing ligament inside that knee. And there's really four major ligaments in the knee, but you really only hear about the ACL one. That's the one that's, you know, it's sometimes 6 months to a year, and need some researchers saying let them go 2 years before they kind of get back into a sport full time, depending upon their level and their goals and their career aspirations. But yeah, that's one that's really, really a challenging one sometimes to find out in the field. But again, with the technology, you know, the X-ray is kind of the starting point. And then eventually they go to the MRI, and that kind of takes little slides and pictures deep inside that knee and kind of give us practitioners kind of a little bit more of an understanding of what's going to really go on inside that knee outside of different, you know, tests that we do in that knee.
Under full disclosure, Nate, I've had so many concussions throughout my life, and I'm 67, and people say, hey, turn the light on. What are you sitting in the dark for? You know, it just helps me and stuff. And, you know, I can't express enough. You really have to say, for instance, how many concussions can an athlete have?
That's always a kind of point of controversy. I mean, like I said earlier in the podcast here, there's a SCAT-6 that we do, and every 5 years, like the people that are in the know around the world get together and meet and have a meeting about it. There used to be more of a, hey, you get X amount and you're done. Now it's really looked at on a case-by-case basis as we know more information. Look at the age level of the athlete, look what sport they're wanting to do, their career aspirations, and kind of decide on a case-by-case, you know, if they should, you know, find a less contact sport or what their next direction is, or retire, which does happen. But you just kind of monitor on a case-by-case basis on concussions as they get through their career in the college and the pros.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't, yeah. Okay, so what's been custom here at Well Certified is that we have personal, and then we got business. And so the personal would be for you to say anything and everything that you ever wanted to say to your family and friends. And it's just about, you know, anything about anything right here, right now. And the business side is to say, all I know is this. If I have to go to Mercy, you know what I mean? I need Mercy people here. And the idea of, there was a guy that was an old time trainer that he kind of revolutionized this thing, didn't he? Do you know that guy I'm talking about?
Helped the profession to grow and evolve through the years. The profession itself is only about 50, maybe 55 years old. It's really pretty new compared to nursing and physicians and things of that nature, but there's been a lot of people that have helped that kind of grow in the area.
Yeah. I met the guy once, and they told me he was the biggest deal around. So that's it. Okay. Now, is there anything, say, for instance, I got the guy and the gal down there at Mercy's building, is listening to this. They're fans of Whale Certified. Do you want to say something to them?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Brian Mahaffey is kind of our, he's our primary care sportsman physician. He works for the Cardinals, team physician for the Cardinals. He's kind of our consult, our guy that kind of provides inspiration, motivation. He's always there for our calls and texts on any athlete situation you might run across. Dr. Steffes is the orthopedic physician, surgeon for Mercy that covers CBC Sports as well. So those are kind of two people of many on our team that we rely upon to help us in a pinch with his athlete care.
Wow, and I thought you did it all by bones and Ouija boards. Okay, then. So this is your time to, you know, anything you want to say personally to anybody.
Yeah, just want to shout out my wife, Christine. I've been married almost 6 years now. And I have two daughters, Kristen. She's married to her husband's on Bless. And they have four children, so actually I am a grandfather at age 50. I'm a pretty young grandpa. And then my daughter Julie and her husband Josh, who are at the Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota, serving our country.
Amen. And, well, you know, anybody who's ever listened to this podcast knows when you get Whale Certified, there's a reason. I mean, you're a stand-up guy, man, and I liked you and admired you. Before, even more now. So this has been Whale Certified.